Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed.
Well, welcome back to the Worcester Naz podcast. I am Pastor Andrew, joined here again with Pastor Nathan.
Hello, everybody.
And we're glad that you're joining us today. We're going to jump right into our conversation.
All right.
Coming off of your message about
extreme generosity,
the love journey.
Yes, exactly.
Is where we were yesterday. But before we even get there, I wanted to go a little bit more foundational.
Yeah.
And here at Worcester Naz, we have this thing called our vision frame. You know, we have our mission statement, loving God, loving people, and living transformed. But underneath there, kind of the foundational level, we have these five values of truth, worship, prayer, kindness, and the fifth one, generosity. Mm-hmm. We say this is something that should be showing up in everything that we do here at Worcester Naz. So I'm just curious, from your perspective, where do you see this generosity showing up around our church, our people?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I like that, because to me, the bottom row was generosity, and that's just so foundational, because it's so powerful, it's so attractive. And I'm around the church. I'm not looking for the big things. I'm just looking for the small things the kids do, just acts of kindness and generosity where they take time. It has nothing to do literally with the treasure, but as I often say and probably will repeat it over and over, it's our time, our talent, our touch, our tears, and our treasure. And so it's I look for the small things, just where people go out of their way and make some kind of sacrifice for others.
Yeah.
And boy, I see it from all ages. I see it in all ages and all ways. So let's just disengage from it only being a money thing.
Right.
Because then people say, well, I can't. Again, no. Because we all have those five T's. We all have five access to some, one of them or all of them. And so it's investing that in others. So.
And I can think just from the top of my head, this last week, we had our Operation Christmas Child packing party that happened. We had people serving at this place called the Caring Closet, organizing all sorts of things. There was a Homeward Bound meal that took place. Mm-hmm. There was a group of guys that came and served at the Ladies Candlelight Tea. Like, these opportunities are everywhere where people can jump in and be generous.
And how I really jumped on that, because I was one of the servers there, but I was really the unofficial greeter. There were probably 150 ladies there. But what I appreciate, it wasn't just the serving beforehand, but they all stayed around with John there, you know, giving instruction. Yeah. They tore everything down and had it turned around, set up for our campus crew team. That's what I mean by generosity, because they were tired. They'd been there for hours. They could have gone, but instead they stayed.
Yeah.
And another way is just, and the blessing season magnifies it. But the blessing season is no better than we are all through the year. And we don't just practice the blessing season. The catalog, if there's new people attending, when you see all the opportunities, not everybody can do anything or all of it, but you can do something. And so that's what we try to do, have a point where anybody, even a child, can enter. The packing party for the Christmas box, Operation Christmas Child, all those things are just, that really depicts who we are.
And I would say it's our perspective as leadership of the church is, like, we want this to be a launching pad for people to say, okay, not what just can I do through the church, but what could I do in my own life and my own areas of influence? How could I be generous in those ways, not just a program that the church has set up?
Yeah, because we need to start looking in the mirror and saying in the morning, I am a child of God. What do you want to do through me today? How can I be generous today?
Right.
How can I give you honor and glory by what I do? And I think if we pray that prayer, we'll continue to have unbelievable stories.
Yeah.
So generosity.
Absolutely.
Matters.
One of these things, we're kind of talking about mindset. And yesterday you were talking about the difference between a scarcity mindset and an abundance mindset. How can the lens of either one of those mindsets affect how we see and live in the world?
Yeah, totally. I tell parents all the time, you know, if you want to change behavior, you change attitude. And that's one of my pet peeves going into blessing season, people grumping around about Christmas and about snow and all that. I'm sorry. All the seasons are blessing from the Lord, including the fifth one, the blessing season. And I think our mindset is just key to how we enjoy it. And the whole idea of scarcity is just like, oh, that leads to hoarding or selfishness. Really, it leads to self-focus because, oh no, there won't be enough. It's like the rabbit, you know, in a sense on Winnie the Pooh, just, oh my. But then there's Eeyore, just like, it'll never work, you know, whatever. So on the other side, the idea of the abundance mentality is there's more where that came from. There's more because God is the provider for everything that we have, and his resources are unending. And I just want to be open so that he can pour it to me so it can go through me to others. So
Another adjacent thought, one of the things you were talking about yesterday that really hit me and kind of reminded me that all throughout the New Testament, there's several examples where we could pull this out, but there's this planting and harvesting, this kind of overarching principle that we can find through Jesus's teaching and some of the parables. Yeah. But I was reminded yesterday, and you were talking about, you know, we need to plant good things. We're going to get good fruit.
Yeah.
But I want you to hear a little bit from your thoughts about, okay, if I start planting good things, why am I still harvesting bad fruit?
Yeah.
Like, why does that still happen for a season after I start planting good things into my life? Or if I start this cycle of generosity, or I start doing this new thing, why am I still seeing some of these bad results?
Right, right. Well, there are consequences to what we plant. Those things grow. But back to my illustration of the yard, you know, you plant grass and grass comes up, but weeds tend to thrive. But by planting more grass, eventually there'll be more grass than weeds. And I don't think we'll ever get away from all the weeds. And not everything in life is good. It's just God is working for good through everything. So it does take time. And that's the whole generosity. That's why it's a journey. It's just not one and done. I think so many times, oh, I'll do this. No, it's a mindset, that abundant mindset, where I'm going to live this way. And I'm going to look for opportunities to be generous instead of making excuses for reasons why I can't or what I can't do. I'm going to say, I can do this. I can do this. And that's the attitude that I love. What can we do? What can we do?
And I think about that gardening thing. I think, you know, in the Old Testament, search me, O God, and know my heart.
Yeah.
Like, there's this weeding out thing that needs to happen throughout our lives, because we are always continuing to grow. There are things that need to be taken out and new things planted. It's a continuing process.
Right. But I just don't want anybody ever think that, man, everything's hunky-dory when you turn to the Lord and you have an attitude shift. No, because the things that are planted, sometimes they have to be taken off. But the Bible says, you know, let the things grow, and he said, I'll pull the weeds out later. But let's keep planting the good things, and eventually the good things will override and overrun things that are negative, I believe.
Yeah. Something else that I've been thinking about a lot since we started this series a couple weeks ago. You've said this the two times that you preached, but you talked about, and you've been saying this kind of over the last couple of years now, of people living on God time.
Yeah.
That God time is always right now, which I completely agree with. I love that perspective. But why do you think we can struggle with that sometimes, of living on God time, living in the now?
Yeah. I think, unlike God, although we blame it on him, we are by nature procrastinators. And we tend to look for things and reasons why we can't do anything. But I say that God lives in the eternal now, and we can't get our mind around that represented. But I honestly believe that that's one of Satan's biggest ploys on us, to get us to delay, because he thinks he can talk us out of it or get our lives so busy and distracted that we don't get around to it. So now is the time to respond. Now is the time. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart about generosity, about anything in general, about forgiveness, the best time is now. I mean, my question would be, why wait? When's there going to be a better time, a more convenient time? There will never be. Obedience is about now.
And we talked about this just a few minutes ago before we sat down here, of when you do those things in the now, you can't think of a time, I can't think of a time in my life where I've regretted those moments of generosity, when I've been obedient, or I've just responded to the call.
I far more have regrets over moments lost.
Yeah.
And I could tell stories about things I haven't done, or I haven't followed the prompt, but I try to learn from those and go, okay, Lord, I'll be more sensitive about that. Because some of those opportunities, once they're gone, and I just trust that the Lord will use somebody else maybe to fill in the gap where I should have stepped in.
Yeah.
But it's a constant mindset and attitude to look for those opportunities, to be aware.
Yeah.
Eyes wide open, hearts wide open, I'd say. Yeah.
As we live in 2025 in America, in this culture, I think one of the things that's so ingrained into us is that when I do something, like, there's goods and services, this thing in our culture and our economy, we're always kind of thinking this even as a baseline.
Yeah.
And there can be this crossover thing that happens in our minds when we think about generosity. And some of these things have even been taught out of context, I would say, taking the Bible out of context. Yeah. But, well, if I'm giving something, I should be getting something in return. Like, there's a one-to-one type thing. It's almost this preconceived expectation that we can have.
Yeah.
And I'm
wondering— transactional.
Right. And I'm wondering, how can we get away from that mindset of, like, it always— we don't always just give for a return on our investment. We give out of obedience, out of abundance mindset. Yeah. How do we shift over into that thinking?
Yeah. I believe my heart says if generosity is imitating God and it makes him smile, then that's what I want to engage in. Because to me, that smile means well done, well doing. I'm proud of you. That represents me very well, because you can't love me and not give and not be generous. And I think that's really the starting point of it, and realize, hey, to God be the glory for everything. Father, bring glory to your name. And if that's why I'm living, it doesn't matter how somebody responds. If they have an entitled mentality or whatever, I don't think God wants us to have generosity remorse. I think he just wants us to say, open hands, I'm releasing it. And I think that's the key about generosity and having the right attitude. It's this way. We're not holding on to it.
Yeah.
It's God's. Everything comes from him, and he's welcome to have access to anything. So that helps me. But we've had situations where people have maybe abused something, a gift or a gift of generosity from our perspective. But that doesn't matter, because you never know by what happens. They could misuse it, and God could speak. The Holy Spirit could talk to their conscience, and that could still bring them to faith. So it's just totally releasing it. I think that's a spiritual principle. We just need to do more releasing it to God.
It reminds me of worship. You know, we talk about palms up, fully surrendered living, and it's like obedience and trust is what it is.
Yeah.
And in the Old Testament, we can see where Samuel is saying to King Saul, he's like, obedience is better than just your sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's just about obedience and saying, okay, Lord, I was obedient to what you called me to do, and I trust that you can handle it all from there.
Yeah, that's obedience is one hand open and trust is the other.
Yeah.
And that's put your money, you know, where your mouth is, saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you because I'm releasing it to you. But no big deal. I mean, it's all from him anyway.
Right.
And everything.
I have told people the story when we teach basics or whatever. Me and Sam, 10, 12, 15 years ago, before we lived back home, I was pastoring somewhere else. And we had made this decision in our marriage from the very beginning that we were always going to do that 10% tithe. That is the baseline. And we did that in times when it didn't make any sense. And we were in this season where we had to pay for her school. We needed 40 tires. And nobody knew that at all. And we came home, and Pastor Joel sat across from us at a table at Panera. We thought he was bringing a Christmas jar for my mom to go and deliver, but it was for us.
Yeah.
And we were just... Yeah. We just wept because nobody knew but the Lord.
Exactly.
And I tell people, we weren't just giving to get, but we had set this baseline of we're going to be obedient.
Right.
And at just the right time, we reap the harvest of blessing. That's what the Bible says. And we experience that in our lives. And so it's not always just the treasure you get back. There's physical blessings. There's job blessings. There's all sorts of things that can happen.
Yeah. And the joy. The pure joy of being generous.
Right.
I said it's fun to try to outgive God. It's an impossibility, but it's just the joy. And everybody that I meet that lives a life of generosity says, I never dreamed it could bring this much joy and so much fun into my life to be able to bless other people in various ways.
And when you're on the receiving end of that, it's like, man, God loves us that much, that he sees us, he knows, he cares, and he is so good and faithful through all of it.
And I said Sunday in one of the services, the benefits of generosity, acts of generosity, are for the giver, for the receiver, but also for the observer.
Yeah.
We never know, and that's not why we do it, but people are watching. I love this community. When somebody's eyes who knows you or about you at the church are always on you, an act of generosity can have a huge impact and melt a heart of stone.
Yeah.
So I love that. I don't think we think of the observer as much as the giver and the receiver.
Right.
But observation is a huge factor because people are watching our lives.
Yep. 100%.
For sure.
As I've had that conversation, kind of sharing that story I just shared, talking about, you know, the baseline of the tithe, I still run into people, and it's very real. I understand their perspective of, well, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense in my finances. Right. I can't afford to do that. And I'm just wondering what you would say to somebody that they're not even really in a position to think about being able to give. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't even possibly wrap their mind around, well, I have such a scarcity. How could I even begin to give? What are some even beginning steps of starting what that looks like for somebody?
Yeah, and I would ask them, first of all, what has kept you from being generous? And I wouldn't just say in money-wise. I'd say whatever. And probably to draw them out a little bit, to think, then to have them articulate, there probably have been some times of generosity, and then say, how did that make you feel? How did you feel about that? Did you feel a bit better about that, or when you wouldn't be or couldn't be or whatever? But that's why I keep illustrating that the place to begin is putting God first in our lives. Because what happens when, this is about order. God wants to order our lives. His firstness, that is so basic. You can build a life and raise your kids and influence your grands on that truth. And then if we just start saying, okay, I'm gonna return the first dollar every week of any increase, Lord. Honestly, anybody can do that. Everybody can do that. Yeah. But giving, the person who loves to give and to be generous. And I think it'll grow on you. So I think that's the first thing to start with, just saying, God, I want you to be first in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to live that way, palms up. And then I would ask him too, have you ever tried it? Have you ever put God first in your life? And I'd ask him, what is it? Where's your heart and where's your treasure? What do you really treasure? So I think getting them to think about that and really analyze that, because there are reasons for people's attitudes about generosity.
Sure.
And I just don't look at life at all by what I can't do. I'm thinking there's possibilities. I don't have every gift, I don't have every skill, but with what God has given me, that's unto whom much is given, much is required. Unto whom little is given, much is required. I mean, proportionally.
Right.
Proportionally. And that's another pet peeve. I never want to judge my returning of generosity by yours. I'm to do what I need to do, and hopefully that my acts will inspire you and others, but it's never compared. But sometimes we can get the principle from other people that we look up to or respect that has a huge impact on it and go, I want to live like that. I've said that in my life when I see models, examples. I want to grow into that. I want to grow. I want to grow in generosity, and I think Dixie and I are at this stage of our life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I had somebody ask me just the other day, they said to me, if you weren't a pastor, who are you? Which that is not, I have no plans of not being a pastor, but they were just saying, who are you today?
Yeah.
Outside of any job you have or thing that you do, who are you? And like what you're saying, are we first of all identifying as I am a child of God?
Yeah.
But then you asked this other really important question yesterday of who are you becoming? And I think that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like we need to take some of these first steps of identifying I am a child of God, and then I need to start doing the things today to become the person I want to be tomorrow. It's this yes and.
Because I am a child of God, because of whose I am, this is what I do. This is what I engage in. You know, and generosity is one of those things, because I want to represent the Father very well, and we can never do it better than when we're living lives of generosity. So yeah, and I said, and it's all true, because when I asked both services, how many of you would reject or don't like somebody who's generous? Nobody raised their hand. They all laughed, because everybody loves somebody who's generous.
Right.
I don't care what area of life, you think kind thoughts toward them. And so to me, it's not holding us up as an example, but hopefully that's reflective of God, and they can see generosity and point to the Father and praise Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know another thing that you hit on. You didn't say it exactly like this yesterday, but there is this mindset. I know we're talking about mindset quite a bit today, but it's so much of it starts there, of going from a consumer to a contributor.
Yeah.
And I think we can see this in the church world, big C, the whole church around us of, I'm just coming to church for me, and well, I don't like the music, so I'll go somewhere else. That's just one example of this consumerism mindset. But how do we shift from consumer to contributor to being part of, and you emphasized again yesterday, we are the church, we are the people, the people are the church. How do we contribute to the body, but also pouring out into the world?
Yeah, because Jesus said, again, I will build my church, and I want to be a part of what he's building.
Yeah.
And so one of the best, and the difference is, it's easy to say that church or your church, but my church means I am the church. And it's not until we are generous with our time, talent, tears, touch, or treasure, that's when it becomes our church. And a lot of times the people that are the least contributors are the most unhappy, the most complaining, and the most excuse-making machines that say why they can't do things. So that's where we just got to get engaged and just say, I want to try. I don't like my mindset. I want to be more generous. Yeah. So
I think too that I remember growing up coming to church here at Western Naz, and Pastor Ben was my youth pastor. And we went
on. I'm sorry.
I know. Please pray for me. As you would say, mine is not a happy story. if any of you know Ben, you understand why we're saying that. He's amazing. We love him. But one of the things that I remember just over and over again, as we went on all these mission trips to these different places, stateside, around the world, is I got this thing into my life of, it's not about me.
Right.
It's just not about me.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that I don't matter or that I don't have, I'm not my own individual person, but like Jesus has given me this free gift of eternal life.
Yeah.
And it's my job to pour that out on other people. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. It's not just love yourself as you love yourself. It's love others and let God move through your life. And I think us having that mentality, even when we walk into church on Sunday morning, yeah. it's not just about, well, I'm going to get my cup of coffee and get to yeah. my seat. Like you joked yesterday, we always sit in the same spot because we're creatures of habit. But it's not just, I'm coming to church for me. Right. It's who else do I need to invite to right. come with me? But who else can I pour out and invest into as yeah. I'm part of the body of the yeah. church?
We exist, the church, that's us. We exist for the world.
Yeah.
Not for just ourselves. It's not a social club. We're commissioned to pour out our lives, which is really pouring out his love through others. And I just say again, I don't think his love is better expressed any better than when we're generous. Not that we don't have to be, we're not under compulsion, we're not pressured to do it. That begins to be how we think.
Yeah.
That's how we think.
You wrapped up your message yesterday with this story about Beth.
Yeah.
And I loved that story. I yeah. love when you tell stories because yeah. it's
read just, stories.
Yeah. But you reformulate them yeah, in the way you do them. It's so good. And there was a highlight in the middle of that was, how can you be angry at a God you don't even believe in?
Yeah.
That was really yeah. profound. I just wanted yeah. to hear a little bit more about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because a lot of our discussion today is, oh, taste and see, the Bible says, that the Lord is good. And how can you be critical of something that you've never tried? And how can you be angry and upset if a life-giving church represents God and his word? How can you be upset at him if you really don't believe his word and his principles? Because really denying his principles in the Bible is really denying him. So why waste all the energy trying to be angry to God you really don't believe in?
Yeah.
So that just hit me as I was writing that story and saying it's like talking out of two sides of your mouth. Either you believe in him or you don't. So I do believe in him and I'm really angry at him. Well, okay. But if you don't believe, then you better find another source to blame. Because you don't even think he exists. So, yeah, that's what I was just thinking about as I introduced that story.
And when you talked about Beth, it kind of reminded me of that question I asked you just a few minutes ago of, here is somebody who couldn't even imagine wanting yeah. to give. She yeah. was consuming. She was taking out of the basket.
Totally. And she was invited to do so.
Right. Yeah. And then completely transformed
yeah.
to she couldn't. Now, at the end of her story, and her story's still going, but the end of where we landed the story,
yeah.
she couldn't imagine why she would not ever be giving. And that's the thing
yeah.
that I want people to understand. Like, yeah. there is such, like you said, this joy that comes yeah. When we're living out who God has created us right. to be, there's this incredible joy of like, man, I can't imagine not doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
And being a part of what he's doing.
That's right. And within that, within the story that I shared, you saw the progressive journey.
Yeah.
The journey towards that. And her motive may have not been right. But again, the thing that caught me was when that campus pastor said, basically, not just feel free to take out, but allow God to meet your need in this way.
Yeah.
And so God meets our needs sometimes materially by whatever means, but it's to get our attention so that he can overpower us with his love.
Yeah.
And that's what captured her heart. He got her attention. They go, wow. This was just so he could touch me at the deepest place of my heart, where the real vacuum, where the real ache was. So my advice to everybody is, don't knock it if you haven't tried it. Just take a baby step, just saying 1%, or just make the outlinks box a priority every week, saying, I don't need that pop. You know what? There's probably more than $1 now. Right. I don't know what they are,
it's
but
crazy.
I'm going to put that's for the outlink. And I mean, put it in my pocket so that when I put it, I go, that's not for me. That's for God and others.
Yeah.
So I think that's the focus of generosity. For God so loved, as we've said over and over, that he gave, that he gives and he keeps on giving. That's what he did, that's what he does, and that's what he'll always do. And I want to represent him very well in that way.
And no matter where we are on this journey of generosity, we can always continue to say yes and take that next step of obedience.
More to come.
And there's more to come.
More to come.
That's so good.
I'm excited about that. You know, I just turned 70 fairly recently, and I want to and I need to get better in a lot of ways, spiritual disciplines and all that, and I still can.
Yeah.
And I aim to keep going until I draw my first breath in heaven,
yeah.
you know, and some things in this life, I can't improve my athletic skills anymore. Probably maybe I could work on a golf course and putt or things like that. But you know, the physical yeah. things I did like basketball and baseball, I don't even do those things anymore to speak of. But when it comes to spiritual principles of being like Jesus, I can grow and get better. And that's what I want. That's what I want to inspire others to say, I'm not done. We're not done. And in the terms of that artist, I've shared that illustration over and over. Remember, he created a picture, a drawing, a painting of Niagara Falls, and he put it in a gallery, and they said, man, you don't have a title, a name for it. And so he thought about it, and he just put under it a little placard, more to come. And to me, that's a picture of God and his abundance. And so I don't want to misrepresent him to other people.
Yeah.
And not that he's just, not that it's a problem-free life or not the transactionary right. thing again, right. but man, I'm trusting him. Remember the hand, open hand of obedience, open hand of trust. So that's the posture, palms up, palms up, palms up.
So good.
That's a posture to receive, but also to give.
Yep.
No clenched fist. Thanks, Bob Goff is the one that taught me that principle through a story a long time ago about his clients as the lawyer just said, open hands and heart. It totally changes your reactions. And so it's exciting to think about that I can still learn and can still grow in these things, but especially generosity.
Yeah.
And we want to be better positioned for that moving forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we will land the plane this Sunday, part four of this series.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's still more to come. This has been great. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today. Thank you to all of you for joining us. And we will see you on the podcast next week. We'll see you real soon.